Blog Talk Radio.
Being free, being actually free, and actually being free in your mind to be able to operate in peace. That's what being set free to me is. We like to welcome to the preacher and
the pastor.
I'm Tawanika Manning.
And I'm Dorsey Manning.
And we are the preacher.
And the pastor.
So today we're talking about Are you
ready for change?
Are you ready for change? That's the question.
Hallelujah. Are you ready for change?
A lot of times we want to change, and I can say, you know, I always talk about change, and I always tell my husband, come Monday, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to get this weight off come Monday. But am I really ready for change?
Amen.
I can talk it all day long, but if I'm ready, you know, change requires action.
Yeah, change does require action. I think it takes place in the mind first.
Always in the mind. If you just tuned in to the Preach and the Pastor Show, we're talking about, are you ready?
For change.
Let's talk about it here on the show. We'd like to first of all say God bless you all to all the listeners, whether you're calling in at this time or you're actually online at the website at Blog Talk Radio. We're just excited to have you here on the show today, you know, tuning in to what the Word of God is saying, what God has led on our hearts to even bring this particular show up about are you ready for change. In life, we know that things are always changing, even the times are changed now. So this show is about why change is necessary for our lives to be successful and to live to live Christ-like. This show will deliver the recorded words of the Bible about change and why we must change. Change starts in the mind. Change is an action word. We must take action when applying change to our lives. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8, that do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're talking about, are you ready for change, Pastor? Are you ready for change?
Yes. You know what? Change is probably the hardest thing that anybody is ever going to do in their life. Who wants to change? You know, I got it going on. I've been doing it this one particular way for so long. I've been doing it for years. And here it is now. You want me to change? Oh, man, it's hard to do. It's hard to accept change. Everything about life, this is a progressing world that we live in. We can't get tomorrow back, and you can't do nothing about it. So there's nothing about time that we can get back. So, you know, everything always changed as far as time is concerned. Everything changed. Our body changed. Our age changed. You know, every situation changed. Everything changed. But why do we want to stay the same? Why do we want to stay the same? So being ready for change, oh, man, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. It depends on what it is that I'm required to change. Amen.
Amen. If you just entered into the preacher and the pastor show, we're talking about, are you ready for change? A lot of us, you hear the saying that, you know, people are set in their ways and they're refusing to change. They say, I've been this way for so long. I'm not changing for nobody. I'm not changing for nothing. You're going to have to accept who I am. But we have to realize at some point of our lives, there is a time for change. There is a need for change. Change is necessary. Even with everything that's going on right now with the pandemic, in order for a certain business to operate, they had to change and be within certain guidelines in order to be able to operate during these times. Though we may not want to change, though we may refuse to change, but in order to be able to progress in this world and in certain areas of our life, it does require us to change. Even being a single man or a single woman, when we decide we want to bring others into our life or to be a parent, we have to change. We can't continue to go out clubbing. We can't continue to just think about self. It requires us now to think about others and their feelings and what our actions will bring about our family, how will it affect our family. So we have to change, even if you're not thinking about what the word is saying, but it does require us to change. Even when we decide, you know what, we're not, no longer going to live, be a part of this world. You know, we live in this world, but we won't live as the world. We won't act and live and operate how the world does, but how Christ is. And when we do that, that requires us to change. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You said a couple things that requires immediate change. One of the things you said is going from being single to a parent. That requires immediate change. I mean, you can't even, you know, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait until 2 or 3 years, and then I'll be ready. No, you got to be ready, because those actions that took place to actually bring that about for you being a parent, it's immediate change. Your whole life changes. So just saying that, you had caused me to remember when I was at that place. And I was at that place where, you know, I was a single man. You know, I didn't have children or anything, and just living life. I was living how I thought, you know, it was good. It was good. I didn't have responsibility for nobody but myself. And then here, change came. And honestly, I should have been expecting, but I didn't know it was going to happen just like that. I didn't know change was just going to happen so soon, but change had to come immediately. And it worked out, you know, for the better, because the person that I used to be, because, you know, God gave me children. Everything began to change about me. Everything began to change. You know, my habits changed. Places that I used to go, things that I used to say, because I knew it was somebody that was going to be looking up to me, listening to everything that I say and watching everything that I do. So, I mean, that happened good for me. So, yeah, I really appreciate that change. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you just tuned into the Preacher and the Pastor Show, we're talking about, are you ready for change? That's a point in your life where you have to say, you know what, I know better. It's time for me to do better. And when we do better, we start changing. We don't do the things that cause us to fall behind, that cause us to have lack, that cause us to allow the enemy to operate in our life fully. So what we do is we change it. We change where we go. We change our environment. We change the way we think. And as we say, it starts in the mind. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, if you all want to go there with me again, that's 1 Corinthians 13, chapter, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I taught as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And verse 12 says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So when we were a child, we did childish things. But when we became, I don't know about you, but when I got to a certain age, when I was about 14, I believe, I got a gold tooth. Everybody was getting gold teeth during that time, and my mother got me one, and I was excited about having a gold tooth. But when I got 19 or 20, I said, I'm no longer that teenage girl anymore. I'm coming into womanhood. I don't want this. I wanted to change my appearance because I no longer wanted to operate in that way. I didn't want people to see me that way. So I changed. I got the gold removed because that was something that was keeping me in my past. So I wanted to change from that I was to something greater. So I had the gold removed. So that required a change. That required action of me. So I said, I'm a grown woman. And as a grown woman, I'm no longer doing teenage things. I'm no longer doing the things of the days of my youth, you know, dyeing your hair red and orange and green and stuff like that. That's not of me. I'm a grown woman. So now I'm operating in my womanhood. And in my womanhood, I don't want the gold tooth that I got when I was 14 years old. You know, in my womanhood, I don't want to dress like this anymore because I'm a grown woman, because I want to carry myself a certain type of way. I want to be received a certain type of way. So I had to change that about me. So when the Bible says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. So when you become an adult, your language will change. When you become an adult, your ways and the way that you operate and think should change. Some people you can come across after 20, 30 years, and you look at them and say, nothing has changed about them but their look, but they're still operating with the same mentality. When we decide to give our life over to God, there is change that must come. That's change that is necessary when you're walking with Christ. You're no longer operating on the worldly system. You're operating on the Christ system, and that requires you to change. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Today. Now, you were saying that you had a gold tooth and orange and green hair. Oh, my goodness.
No, I didn't have an orange and green hair. I was making an example, but I didn't have a gold tooth.
I was sorry. Oh, my goodness. You had orange and green hair and a gold tooth. Boy, we're glad that God stepped in and showed you that you needed to change.
Change.
Change is necessary. You know, when does change? Change starts right now. Change starts right now.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to change, everybody. I think you said it about Monday never comes. Everybody wants to change, but change starts right now. But Do you know how to change? Do you know how to change? Now I know certain things that we just become accustomed to. Say if I wake up every morning, I like to go down. Let's say it was Starbucks. I like to go down to Starbucks every single morning, and I got to get this coffee with a lot of sugar, a lot of cream, and a lot of whatever it is that I want in this coffee. Now, let's say if I've been doing that for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but then something was going on with my body. And, you know, I go to the doctor, and the doctor say, well, it's because of this. You know, your levels are high or your levels are low, or if it's too much of this and too much of that, you know that change is required to take place right then and there. You have to make a decision that, you know what, I know what I have been doing. I know what I have became accustomed to, and I got to quit. But it's a habit now. But it's a habit. I just can't stop going to Starbucks and getting this coffee, this whatever type of coffee it is. I just can't stop going. I can't stop doing that. But you have to do it because your body is telling you that, hey, we are breaking down. What you are doing right now is breaking us down, and we can't survive this. This is what you are doing. So change needs to take place. Because if you don't change, then we're going to let you down. We're going to lay down, and then, you know, here come a whole lot of other things that come into. But change definitely starts now. Change starts now. Not only do change start right there, if you don't even have that type of habit, say if it's a habit of if you got a cussing spirit. Now, that's just talking about spirits. Now, these are the most things that need to change immediately. The spirit, you know, because we are a spirit being. We are a spirit being. And whatever it is that's inside of us, you know, will come out. Now, over here in Galatians 5 and 22 said, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Now, that's where we should definitely be. We should be walking in the spirits. We should produce the fruitfulness of us. That should come out of us. People, you don't have to tell nobody that you're peaceful. You know, that's going to come out. Now, you might not always have been a peaceful person, but you don't have to tell anybody that you're peaceful, because they can look at you, they can just be around you, and they can tell that, oh, you are in perfect peace, or you're in peace. You don't have to tell anybody else that you have joy, because they can see it. I can see it. Neither do you have to tell anybody that you're angry. You don't have to tell anybody that you're in strife. You don't have to tell anybody that you're a liar or a cheater, because these things come out. These things come out. Whatever that's on the inside of you, if you know that it's not clean, you know that it's not pure, then maybe you are housing the wrong spirit. Obviously, we are housing the wrong spirits, because these things come out. Anytime that a problem occurs or something that causes us to think or feel differently than where we're already at, or it could just be anything, whatever comes out of your mouth or whatever you're thinking in your head, it's because of the fruit that you produce. It's because of the fruit. It's because of what's in you. Now, if we are reading the Word of God, if we are reading the Word of God daily, this is how change starts. That's why I say change starts today. If you're reading the Word of God daily, okay, you are making a decision that I am not going to be the same person that I used to be yesterday, because I believe every single word that is written in the Word of God. I believe every single word that is written. And we thank God that the Word of God does not change. We thank God that the Word of God does not change. So if I'm going to live life and live it how God intends for me to live it, then I first need to read the Word of God daily. Not just read the Word of God, but believe the Word of God and be a doer of the Word. That means actually let it come out. Because what you put on the inside of you, what you begin to conjure upon and thinking about, is going to create that type of change, that same change that you're looking for. Amen.
Amen, amen. Yes, are you ready to change? We're at a point in our lives, a lot of us, when we get to a certain age, we decide, okay, I have to change this about me. And as Pastor was talking about, you know, even changing what we eat and what we put in our body and what we allow ourselves to put in our body. Like for me, it's very important that I keep my peace. You know, so I have to change my environment. I have to change the people that I'm around. I have to change what I listen to, what I gave my ears to, what I gave my eyes to see. That was very important for my peace. So in order for me to receive peace, I had to change things in my life. So change is very important, but are you ready for change? That is a question. A lot of us are just not ready to change. A lot of us think, praying God to change us, but really we're not ready. I've heard people say, you know, asking God to reveal things and show me this, God, about this person. Let me know if I should move out of this relationship. Lord, show me if this relationship is for me. So you're asking God to change your situation, but at the same time, you're holding onto that thing that you're asking God to change. We're asking God to change us in us, but every day we're still allowing that same thing that's having control over us to operate in us fully, because we're holding on to that very thing that we're trying to change. So even when we get the answer from God about someone in relationships, about our situation, we tend to still want to hold on to that very thing that we're asking God to change, or we're asking God to give us an answer about. And when he gives us the answer, we're not willing to accept the answer. We still want to hold on to it because we're not through with it yet. So, and the thing is, when you receive your change, whatever that change is, a lot of people lose it because they don't hold on to it. So once you receive the change, hold on to the change. Once you get delivered and set free from that thing that has been plaguing you for years in your life, once you receive that change, hold on to your change. Don't let it go. Once a doctor gives you, they say, okay, we need to perform this surgery on you, and you need to eat this way, you need to do this. He said, divine directions and instructions for you. Do this and do that, and you will remain healthy and strong. But the moment we decide we're going to do what causes to get there in the first place, now we let go of our change. We let go of that very thing that's keeping us in a good place of our change. Amen? And so we just got to really focus on are we truly ready for change, or are we forced to change? Because sometimes we're in a situation where we are forced to change. We don't have a choice. Like even during these times, a lot of us are forced to change. You know, some of us refuse to change, so we're willing to open ourselves up to any and everything. We're willing to open ourselves, and when we don't change, and when we're not ready to give it all over to God and allow God to lead us and guide us, and we open ourselves up for the enemy to operate in our life, and he'll operate through people, and sometimes he'll use you if you allow those things and those avenues to remain open because you refuse to change, and you're wondering why are these things happening in my life. God is causing, his calling his people to change. He wants to change us. He wants to transform us. The Bible says in Romans 12:22, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what is the Bible saying to us? God has good and acceptable and perfect plans for his children. We are his children, so we have to change. He wants us to be transformed. He wants us to be transformed people with renewed minds. He wants our minds to be renewed, meaning we have to change the way we think, living to honor and obey him, because he wants only what is best for us. And because he gave his son to make our new lives possible, we should joyfully give ourselves as a living sacrifice for his service. So we as Christians are called to not be conformed to this world with its behavior and customs that are usually selfish and often corrupting. So many Christians wisely decide that much worldly behavior is off limits for us. So if you're a Christian, we have to decide, we have to change that the worldly behavior is off limits for us. We no longer operate on the worldly system. So our refusal to conform to this world values, however, must go even deeper than the level of behavior and customs. It must firmly be planted in our minds. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is possible to avoid most worldly customs and still be proud, conveyant, selfish, stubborn, and arrogant. Only when the Holy Spirit renews us, re-educates, and redirects our minds are we truly transformed. Are you ready for change? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, you were saying, when you were saying something right now, I was thinking, really, nobody really wants to change. And that's, let's just be honest about it. Nobody really wants to change. Well, we're willing as far as the thought of change, but the actual action that takes place, oh, man, I've been sitting over here on this job for all this. I know I don't like this job, but it's paying the bills. The hardest thing for us to do in life is to let go of what God is telling us to let go. Now, we have been allowing ourselves to be in self for a long time. We set out to do all that we wanted to do. You set out to do all that you wanted to do. And we've been used. We've been used. We've been taken hostage by what the world has to offer, you know, the things that in this world and of this world. You know, we really have subjected ourselves, you know, to all of these things, and this is what we really want. We want the things out of life. We want the things. We want the riches of what money can do for us. Now, that's that change. Now, I believe, you know, right now, this is a time for this thing, especially this pandemic that's going around, that's been spreading around. This is the time for allowing change to happen. Everybody has been inside of their home for a little while now. I think since around about March. It's around about March. You know, you have to be inside of your homes. You can't go over here to a certain place, and you can't be no more than 6 feet away. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that's changing. This is just the beginning of things that is to come. This is just the beginning. But nobody really wants to change. Now, if you are just waiting on things to go back to how they used to be, things are not going to go back to how they used to be. Now, some things definitely are going to go back to how they used to be, but some things don't necessarily need to go back how they used to be. And I really believe that. I really believe that there's certain things that we should definitely do. Now, if you're on course right now, if you have been spending time, you know, in the Word, because, you know, you're at home with your family, you have your Bible where you can read. If you have been spending time in the Word, you have been finding out some things about yourself that you did not even know. You're finding things out about your children that you did not even know. Wives are finding out things about their husbands. Husbands are finding out things about their wives. And it's just like, wow, I didn't even know the situation that I was in because I've been blinded to the things that I've been subjected to in this life. So change is definitely it's necessary. No one really wants to do it, but now is the time to change. You know, choose God. Choose God. If you don't know who to choose, then choose God. Because it's right now in this place right here. It's in the place where you're at right now. The place where you're in need. You're in need of so many different things right now. You're in need. Well, this is the place to where God needs you in that place is trusting him and needing him. And that requires you to change the way you are. God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He hasn't failed you yet. There's nothing that you have ever went to God for and trusting that he was going to be there and trusting he was going to do all that you asked him to do if he has not done it yet. But don't be in that place where you're trusting God and where you're asking God to be the head of your life, and then you're following him. And then, you know, once, you know, times get a little bit easier, I'm going to go on back over here to doing what I used to do. Now, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, once you know that God has changed you, you know, stay right there and just build that relationship. Everything about life is all about relationship, but not relationship where you can just have, you know, with people and the things of this world. It's a relationship that God wants you to have with him. There was two covenants. There's an old covenant and a new covenant, and it was all about relationship. It's all about having that relationship or having that right relationship with God. Now, I want to read one scripture that I was just thinking about here right now, you know, over in Philippians, Philippians 1 and 20. Well, in Philippians 1 and 20, it reads, this is Apostle Paul. I think he wrote this. Quite sure he did. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as well showing now Christ shall be manifested in my body, whether it to be life or death. See, if you know that you used to be a certain type of way, if you used to be this type of way, I used to say these things, and, you know, I can remember when I was out there on the street corner, or I can remember when I was in the bars, or I can remember when I was doing all manners of things that I know that I wouldn't be comfortable even telling anybody about it now. Well, if you know that God has changed you, you know, tell somebody. He said, don't be ashamed to tell somebody. Don't be ashamed to tell somebody. This is what Paul was saying. You know, don't be ashamed. You know, it is Christ that has changed you. It was nothing that you have done to actually change when you accepted Christ in your life. You know, then change had to happen. We have an excellent spirit that lives on the inside of us when you are in Christ. When you're in Christ, you have an excellent spirit, and change will come. Now, there are some things that, you know, we should definitely keep, you know, to ourselves and just allow people to actually see that change, allow people to see that, you know what, I can see a lot of change in you. I remember when you used to be, so you don't have to say something, but some things you definitely should say. It's just about, you know, you telling somebody that's going through that situation that they're in. They may be in that place where they're about to give up. But you can tell them that, hey, just by your testimony, what God have brought you from, that, hey, you do not have to die from that. You do not have to be subjected to that. So let me tell you how God has delivered me. See, that's that place right there where we need to be. Telling somebody, you know, how God has changed me. Now, we all have a story where we can tell, you know, how God has changed us. Tell somebody. Don't be ashamed. Tell somebody how God has changed you. Amen.
Amen. If you just into the preaching, the pastor, so we're talking about, are you ready for change? Are you ready to take that step and say, you know what, I want to be changed? Are you ready to turn from your ways of this, your worldly ways, and say, God, change me, make me more like you? Are you ready to surrender all over, which requires us to change? Are you ready to take your hands off a situation which requires you to change? Some of us are prideful. Some of us are secretive. Some of us are patient. Some of us are unloving. Are we ready to change? Some of us are operating in hatred. Are you ready to change? And sometimes people feel like they can't change because they've been in this place for so long. They've been operating in this spirit for so long that they don't think change is possible for them. And as we know, the Bible says change is available to all when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It changes your life. It changed the murderer into that helper, into that giver, to that lover. It changed the fornicator. It changed the adulterer. It changed the thief. It changes us. The Word of God changes us, and when you allow the Holy Spirit to operate through and about your life, it changes everything about you and your life. People will back away from you. I'm telling you, it will change your company.
Yeah.
When you allow the Holy Spirit to operate, you ain't got to ask somebody to leave. You ain't got to write nobody out. The Holy Spirit will remove people out of your life. You won't have to do anything. Change will come. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's going to be a lot of change. And some of that change, it's not going to feel all that good at first, but it's going to work together for your good, because people will turn on you. People will talk about you when they see God changing you. They'll say, how can God use her? How can God use him? I knew her when. Right. I knew him when. You know, they're looking at your situation. They're looking at what you used to be. They can't accept your change. They're not ready for your change. So when people are not ready for your change, God will remove those people from around you. And a lot of times we're still trying to hold on to those people and our feelings are hurt. But understand, when God changes your situation because you allow God in to be able to change, people are going to have to move. People are going to have to, you know, people are going to have to leave your life. I mean, it's just what it is, because everybody's not going to agree with your change. And you would think that they will. You think that they will be happy for you. You think that they will rejoice. They will celebrate you. But everybody is not ready for your change. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I just hope that when you do find yourself in that situation, because I have to do this. When you find yourself in that situation when you were just talking about, you know, when there's people that's in your life and you know it's time, you know, to end. That season is over with. I just hope, you know, that you really, you know, choose God and keep on moving forward, everything forward. Just keep on moving forward, because it's something about when you go back to doing what you used to do, or you go back to living how you used to live, it's almost like it's 10 times worse than when you was in the situation in the first time. It's almost worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, I was coming out of this situation. Here it is. You know, I didn't allow somebody to talk me to come right back over here to this place. And here I am. I came back. Oh, man, it's worse than what it was in the first time. And then we'd be praying and say, God, can you give me a sign? Can you just give me a sign?
Yes,
everybody,
we do New Year's resolutions. You hear that? New Year's resolution.
Yes.
Because we want change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We do this whole New Year's resolution every year for change.
So now, I was teasing my wife. We was talking about something, one Bible study lesson. I don't know if it was yesterday or day before yesterday. And I said, we'd be asking God, you know, to give us that sign. You know what? But we already have that sign, especially if it's in a broken relationship. I tell her, all the time you have to do is just look at that knot upside your head. That's all the sign that you need. Something needs to change. Something needs to change right
the
now.
Change so
the
change is already on your head.
The change is already there.
Yes,
you want to sit
Lord.
There. You want to stay right there. That situation was, God go change her, or God go change him. You know, they ain't going to do that no more. Sometimes, you know, you need to change. You need to change the way you are, where you put your feet at, or where you sit down at.
Yes, where you allow yourself to be in the presence of.
Look, most of the time, like when you are in a relationship, you be expecting the other one to change before you change. We be praying that you know, God, I wish you, God, I pray that you change him. God, I pray that you change us. You know, but God, I want to work on you first. He want to work on you first.
Mm.
Okay, I'm working on him. Or I'm working on her. But let me start out with you. You know, you can
yeah.
point out a lot of things about the person that you're laying next to or the person that you're dealing with. You point out a lot of things. But you're unwilling to deal with the things that you got going on right now. No, you
yes,
don't want, oh,
amen.
Don't deal with me. God, change him so he will fit my situation. Change
Jesus.
Him. And if he's out there doing something, I've heard this so many times, and I'm just, oh, I'm just going all down. I heard this so many times. I heard women say this. Well, God, if he ain't the one to cut him off right now, wait a minute. If they cut him off right now. But, you know, at the end of it all, when you really think about it, if you're praying for God to cut him off, then maybe you need to change, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you change your way. Because maybe you already know that it ain't the person for you. It ain't the man for you. You say, God, cut him off if he ain't the one. I think you know if he's the one, if she's the one or not. So sometimes, you know, change. Start with you first. Start with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You play too much over there. You're having too much fun by yourself. If you're just tuning into the preacher, the pastor show, we're talking about are you ready for change? We get to a point in our life, we're just ready for something new. We're ready for God to do a new thing in us. We're ready, you know, sometimes it's your job, sometimes it's your relationship, sometimes it's your children. You're just ready for change. You're tired. People become depressed because they're in so need of a change. It's so necessary for our lives. And then you were talking about relationships, how one will pray for the other one to change, but you have to understand and be careful who you get into a relationship with, who you allow in your life, because some people come in and they will change you. And I've got out of relationships
Amen.
Because I didn't want to change from being a good-hearted person, a giving person, because people make you get to the point where you'll become selfish, you'll become angry because you're dealing with this angry person and this angry spirit and this selfish person, and before you know it, instead of you changing them for the better, they change you for the worse. So you have to be very, very careful with that. I've had to get out of relationships and say, oh, no, I'm not going to let you change me, because I saw myself getting angry. I saw myself starting to fuss, and
mm-hmm.
I'm peaceful. I saw myself doing things I normally wouldn't do. You know, if you with somebody that's a smoker and you're not, before you know it, you'll start smoking. If you with somebody that's a drinker before
mm-hmm.
you know it, you'll find yourself drinking. If you're not that person and if you're not strong enough, that thing will suck you in and change you. So you got to be very, very careful. I remember my grandmother telling me when I was about in my 20s, I used to throw these dinner parties and invite people over, and I was always giving and giving and giving and giving. My grandma said, well, you better stop doing that. You know, people going to take advantage of you. And I said, that's something I don't want to change about me. I want to be that giver. I want to be that lover. In some of the relationships and situations I've been in, if I would allow that person or that situation to change me, I wouldn't be the person I am today. Because it can, you gotta understand, if you're with that type of spirit for too long, you will become that. If you allow that type of spirit to lay down with you, it'll get up with you. You have to be very, very careful. And then a lot of times we don't realize it until we get into another relationship. How we've changed because of who we used to be with. Oh, my God, that's
Hallelujah.
A revelation. I know for someone tonight,
Hallelujah.
They're going, is that me, you know? Am I operating? Am I acting like the person who I despise their ways? Did I pick up that? Have I changed to that? I say I don't like it. I don't want that a part of me. Have I become the very thing that I despise? Oh, my God. And I want you to know,
Amen.
If you're listening here tonight,
Amen.
That prayer can change anything in any situation in anybody. Prayer can change, but you have to believe in what you're praying for before you believe. You got to believe in the one that can change your whole situation, that can divinely intervene and turn it all around for your good when it look like there's no way that it can turn around for you. Believing and praying that God will do it for you, that in the nick of time, when it seems like the way, the currents of the water is about to take you in and under, there's no way out and there's nobody around, knowing that God will lift up a standard and bring you out. Because you decided to change and allow God to be the head of your life and the lifter of your head. We're talking about, are you ready for change? Because for some of us, it's necessary. I know people have been in situations, if they didn't change, if they didn't move, it would have cost them their life. Not only their life, but it would have cost them their children's life. It would have cost them their family life because It was necessary that they change, and they had to make a move. And as we know, change requires action, and you had to get your mindset. You had to get focused so you can change. So if you're not ready, nobody can make you ready but you. But are you ready for change? Amen?
Amen. Amen. You covered a lot of areas right there, and you were talking to somebody. I felt it. You were talking to somebody. So, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. So you saying if I allow myself to be in a relationship with a liar, now I don't want them to lie to me, but as long as I stay right there in that place of being lied to, you saying that there's a great possibility that I can become the same thing that I despise? I can become a liar?
Oh, yeah. Man. Before you know it, you'll find yourself lying.
Wow. So people say that growing up that anything that you do from 21 to 30 days become a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you do. So I heard that. So that's almost like being, what do you call it? What's that word? Brainwashed. That's almost like being brainwashed. Being brainwashed by what you are listening to or who it is, you know what I mean, that you are giving attention to. So that means if you were in a relationship with a cheater, if you were in a relationship with a cheater, and this man or this woman has been cheating and cheating and cheating and cheating and cheating, and now you're out of that relationship and you're in another relationship, it's a possibility that you could become a cheater, especially if it looks like the person that you're with, the new person that you're with, they show some signs of the old person she used to be with. You just might say, you know what, I'd have seen this before. I know a cheater when I see a cheater, and you cheat.
Mm-hmm.
You might not say that, but you might. Well, but you are likely to begin to cheat, and probably not even being cheated on, but you begin to cheat because you have allowed yourself to hang around and to think like and to act like you have put up with the same thing that you wanted to change. You have put up that with so long, and it tends to try to grab hope to you and just stay right there in your life. Well, it's a lot of things that do that. Oh, that's some revelation. It's a lot of things that do that. Anger does that. If you are an angry person, then you probably was around a lot of anger. If you have a cussing spirit, you're a person that likes to cuss, it's probably because you subject yourself, you know, to cussing. And you say smoking, a smoker. Now, you might have didn't used to be a smoker. Let's just go ahead and tell the truth. You know, I have some youthful days here. It was one particular time I used to hang around smokers. And they used to smoke the left-handed cigarette, not the ones you get by at the store. They used to smoke the left-handed cigarette. And I wasn't smoking, but it was just me being around them and the smoke that was in the air. The smoke, it entered into my nose to where now I was feeling the same thing that they was feeling. And, you know, I had subjected myself to that because at first I didn't want it, but because, you know, I used to hang around them all the time, then the next thing you know, then I want it. I'm glad God had delivered me from that. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
There's a lot of things that I knew that had to change. I had to change the people that I hung around. Now, how many people are going to tell the truth? How many people are going to tell the truth?
Amen.
And I think that's what I was reading over here in Philippians 1. You know, now don't be ashamed of what God have delivered you from. Don't be ashamed to tell somebody. Because when you are have enough courage to tell somebody, that's just enough that they can use. That's just enough faith. Well, if God can change you. I remember when you was over here, you used to be fast runner. But now I see you have slowed down. Well, I see if God can change your feet from moving so swiftly, well, I know, but y'all can change mine. I know that.
Amen.
Because I remember where
Amen.
You used to be. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. If you just tuned into the preaching, the pastor show, we're talking about are you ready for change? Change is necessary. And it's like you were saying, so you mean to tell me if I was in a relationship with a cheater and I get in another relationship, will I cheat? Well, this is some people start cheating in their very relationship because of the cheater. You know, you would normally cheat, but then you've been cheated on, so you decide I'm going to stay in this relationship, but now you're cheating because you've been cheated on. So we have to be very, very careful, you know, that we don't entertain this type of spirit, you know, living with and staying in and understanding we need to change before we become that very thing. So it's very,
Amen.
Very important. And even us as pastors
Amen.
And ministers, when God has called us into the ministry, he's calling us to change. We have to operate under the Holy Spirit and the authority of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that requires us to change. The Bible says we have to be ready in and out of season. Some of us was not ready. Some people say, I stay ready from getting ready. So we have to stay ready. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:1-2, it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Verse 2 says, preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, and with long suffering and teaching. What is the Bible saying to us here? It is important for Timothy here to preach the gospel so that the Christian faith could spread through the world. So we believe in Christ today because people like Timothy were faithful in their mission and in his mission. So as we are called in Christ, as we have changed and decided to accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, being called a pastor, a priest, whatever your calling is, knowing that we have to be ready. So even here what Timothy says, it is still vitally important for believers to spread the gospel. It is important for us as we change, we have to spread the gospel. We are commissioned to do so. So have the people who have ever lived or alive today, and the most of them do not know Christ. He is coming soon, and he wants to find his faithful believers ready for him. It may be inconvenient to take a stand for Christ or tell others about his love, but preaching the word of God is the most important responsibility the church and its members have been given. So we have to change, and we have to be in that mindset and be ready, even out of season, be prepared and be courageous and in a sensitive to God. And God's given opportunities to tell the good news to those that don't know him, those that need the encouragement. So being ready in season and out of season means to always be ready to serve God in any situation, whether or not it is convenient. Be sensitive to the opportunity God gives us, that God gives you. So Paul told Timothy to convince, rebuke, exhort. It is difficult to accept correction, to be told we have to change. But no matter how much the truth hurts, we must be willing to listen to it so we can fully obey God. We can fully hear from God and obey God and what God is telling us to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You just struck something in my spirit here when you were saying that. You know, it's time for change. Change starts right now. So what I
right
was
now.
Just thinking about is, yeah, change starts right now. The change starts right now. So what I was just thinking about is, what is it that needs to change that we are so embarrassed, or we're so just willing just to hold on to? Well, there are two type of people in this world. There are the believers and the non-believers. Either you believe that Christ has redeemed you, that he has saved you and set you free, that that he is your savior, or this is where, you know what I'm saying, you make that choice. And this is nothing but a choice. So we have chance and we have choices where you make that choice. So now, say if you are a believer, if you are a believer, then there are certain things that have not changed about you. That doesn't mean that that you are still that sinful man or that sinful woman. You know, once you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and then you allow, yourself to follow Christ and for him to be the head of your life. Okay, so now that you are a believer, but there are certain things that about you that you probably just don't believe in. That's called disbelief. That's disbelief. And these are the things that have not showed up in your life yet. These are the things that have not changed yet because of your disbelief. It's not that God hasn't done it yet. It's because of your disbelief to hold it. You're holding on to that, you know. Oh, well, God, I know that you have changed all this, but, you know, I just need to hold on to this for a little while because, you know, I don't want to, I'm ashamed to even tell you about it as if God don't know already. He know everything about you. He know everything about you, but there's certain things that just have not changed yet, and we're wondering, like, when is it going to change? Well, it's because of your disbelief. You have not received because of your disbelief. And if you are a non-believer, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you know, it's easy to not accept me, or it's easy not to accept anybody that's spreading the gospel, because you don't believe in the first place. So how can you say something? How can you do something that you do not believe?
You know, that is the one sin. That is the one sin that Christ did not deal with there on the cross is unbelief or disbelief, because you have to believe to be able to receive. You have to believe that you are healed in order for you to be healed. You have to believe that you are free in order for you to be free. You have to believe. It's either one of those two things. Which person are you? Are you the person that believes but still have disbelief? That means you want to hold on to, you want to say that you are like Christ, but you want to still live like the world tell you to live? Or you're a person that has not accepted Christ into your life, and you just automatically, you just subject it to whatever anybody tells you because you believe in what the people say. Or I believe or what I can find out, you know, on my own. Amen.
If you just tuned into the preaching of the pastor, we are talking about, are you ready for change? We wrap up the last few minutes of the show here. We have to understand God is patiently waiting for us to change. As we know in Genesis, in the beginning of Genesis, and we'll talk about that in this in chapter 6, verse 3, it says, and then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So what the Bible is saying here is that his days shall be 120 years means that God was allowing the people of Noah's day 120 years to change their sinful ways. So God shows his great patience with us as well. He has given us time to quit living our way and begin living his way, the way he shows us in his word. While 120 years seems like a long time, eventually his time ran out and the flood water swept across the earth. Your time also may be running out. Turn to God and to ask God to forgive you of your sins. You can't see the stopwatch. We can't see the stopwatch of God's patience, and there is no bargaining for additional time. Me and my husband, we were watching a show last night, a movie last night, and I was saying, look at, you know, this movie is so much like what the world is and so much is going on in the world with all the killing and the destruction, you know, and I said, can you imagine? God sees all this. He sees everything. We don't see a pin drop of what God sees. And what if he just said, okay, that's enough. This is too much. That's it. I'm tired. That's it. You know, because of this destruction and what, you know, what we're doing. And God, he gives us time, but we don't know how much time we have. So now is the time, like my husband said, now is the time to change. It is time. God is waiting for us patiently to change, but how much time do we have to change? Why not change today? Why not decide, I'm going to give it all over to God. I'm going to give my life over. I give my life away, oh Lord, so you can use me. Change me, oh God, to make me more like you, Father God. Let the fruits of the Holy Spirit take root and abound in me, oh Lord. Lord, I need you right now because I can't do it myself. I've tried, and I failed. Lord, so change me. We need the change. Change is necessary. Don't wait till it becomes life-threatening. A lot of people don't change until it becomes life-threatening. That's a time when you're forced to change, when you have to change, or that is it for you. So don't wait until you're forced to change. Come on, it's just like when the police come. If you just surrender before they come and apprehend you, I mean, to arrest you before they come to arrest you. But if you go surrender yourself in, you know, you can avoid the battle wounds or possibility of getting killed. So they have to come get you. You're subject to any and everything for them to arrest you. But if you just surrender over, don't wait to get arrested. Come on in. Change. Give it over to God. Let's have food for thought right now. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay, let's food for thought for tonight. When God changes you, you can see. You can see because where you used to be or who you used to be, you know that you are not that person anymore. You know that because God changed you. You asked God to change you, and you believed that he would, and he did. Well, at that particular point in time, before God changed you, you was blinded to what he had for you to receive. But when God changes you and now you can see what you really see in that change, you see Jesus Christ. You see Jesus. And you know that it was not of your own might of that change that come. You know that had to be God's doing. You know, once you can see Christ and once you know what God is willing to do in your life, follow him. Follow him. Because there are a lot of more things that's going on in your life right now that you definitely need to be delivered from. You definitely need to change.
Yes.
And we know it.
Yes.
And we know it. So when God changes you, you're changed. When God heals you,
amen,
you're healed. Trust,
amen,
God with more than just the little things. You know, trust God with all things about you. A little food for thought.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. That was good. Yeah, trust God with everything, not just your words. A lot of people just want to give God words and no action. You know, it's one thing to say, God, change me. There's another thing to allow God to change and start acting on the change, and where people can see the change that God has made in you. You don't have to wear a shirt to say, I know I've been changed. People will see that,
mm-hmm,
you are changed. I've had people say, well, I'm changed. And you look at them, there's no way. You know, you're saying you're married, but you're not operating as a married person. You're saying you're saved, but you're not operating, mm-hmm, as a saved person. You know, you're saying all of this, but you're not operating. So
yeah,
it's very important to change. And I like to go to Matthew 6:33, which is one of my favorite books in the Bible and scriptures, because in order for us to seek God first, we have to change and make God the head of our life, make Jesus Christ our Lord and,
yeah,
Savior. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So in order for us to do that, we have to change what we are seeking. So first we have to seek God and his righteousness, and then all these things. We have to stop seeking things and then seeking God for the things. So when we get God, we get everything that we need. So to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness means to turn to God for his help, to fill your thoughts with his desires,
yes,
to take his character for your pattern, and to serve and obey him in everything. What is really important to you is the question. People, objects, goals, whatever it is, and other desires all compete for priority. So any of these can quickly bump God out of first place. It's up to you to change and decide you got to put God first. So if you don't actually choose to give him first place in every area of your life, that's important. You have to change and decide, I'm a pick God. I'm going to put God first. When I open my eyes and when I can open my mouth in the morning, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to change that about my life. I'm going to redirect my life. I'm not going to just grab my phone first and get on Facebook or start texting, I love you, boo, what you doing, or whatever you do early in the morning. Give God first. Make that change in your life. Put God number one. Make God your number,
amen,
one priority. In the name of Jesus,
yes,
Christ, Father God, we just want to say thank you. Let us pray before we
thank
close
you,
out here tonight. I thank you all that were listening in on tonight. We are the Gospel Public Ministries. If you'd like to sow into the ministry, you can at Cash App at Pastor Chantel, and it's capital S and then H-A-N-T-E-L-L. Help go towards the ministry and what we're doing. And we just thank God for you. We bless all that you can do and all that God will do in you and for you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we just want to say thank you.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to give us divine healing in every area of our life, spirit, mind, will, emotions, and physical being in accordance with your divine plan. In order for our lives, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we receive your divine healing and wholeness and newness of life right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we ask you to expand in us your territories.
Yes.
Lord, we ask for and receive beautiful ashes, the oil of joyful mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. For we are the trees of righteousness and the planting of the Lord, that you may be glorified in Jesus' name. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to give us and every person that is online today, whether by phone or by the internet or according to John 16:23, the manifestation of every miracle and every healing that you have given us, and the manifestation of divine healing and divine health in each of our bodies right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for keeping us. We
thank
you for saving us, oh God. We thank you for all that you do, oh God, and all that you're about to do, oh God, and all that you've done in Jesus Christ's mighty name, Lord. We know that there's no lack. We decree and declare that there's no lack of your goodness operating through and about our lives. And we seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray, to God be the glory, and we all say amen. It's been a glorious night. I'm excited and about what God is doing. At this time, I'm just excited. I love the Lord and all that he has done in me, and I thank God for changing me so that I could be available to be that vessel that God, the Holy Spirit, can flow through you too as well, my husband. Tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. We're talking about, are you free? Be free. That's our topic for tomorrow night. Tune in here. Are you free? Are you free? Because all of us, we're not free. We're still in bondage with the money. We're still in bondage with the man, with the one. We're still in bondage with the job. We're still in bondage because we're not free. And it starts with the mind. Everything starts with the mind. So, again, tune in tomorrow night, 8 p.m. on the Preach and the Pastor show, Are You Free? And also, if it's your first time listening, we're on every Sunday service at 2 p.m. So tune in on Sundays. We're here 6 days out of the week, so we thank God for it. Again, we love you. God bless you. God bless you. I love you, hon.
Yes,
thank
I love you.
God bless you. Thank you. I love you, too. Oh, God.
Come on, put your hands together.